In this week's Crystal Connection, I want to activate a deeper awareness around your inner archetypes and how to work with them to bring more joy and aligned creations into your world. So as we begin to sort of awaken, right, we begin this awakening journey, and there's so many different layers of awakening that we must go through because we must awaken the body's consciousness. That's kind of the beginning of the stages where we start to realize what our body is holding, become aware of the systems within the body, and truly we begin to connect more deeply with our intuitive nature and our higher self as we come down this path. We might not see it as higher self. We might see it as guides or something outside of us. But to me, this is truly just the layers that we awaken to in our multidimensional field. And as we come through this process, inevitably we will hit up against our own psyche and the complexes, if you will, that we've created in order to survive in the world. Right? And this really can be a game stopper. This stops the reality from moving forward if you cannot become aware of the complexes. As we go through the awakening process, we truly are being asked to transcend above our old ways of survival. That is what everything is about right now. It's about realizing that the things that used to work for you or used to work in this world are no longer working for you. So I think this is a thing that a lot of us are coming to, even if you've been on the spiritual path for many, many years. I think it takes many, many years to really truly understand your own psyche and how it connects to your soul journey. And I think that's one of the big keys to this, is that we can sort of understand psyche and we can sort of understand the soul journey, but we have to meld them together to understand how the soul and the psyche interact. And we can do this through the understanding and awareness of archetypes. This is one way that people can come to this greater understanding of themselves and why they do what they do, and why do I create this same thing over and over again? Or why am I unable to move forward on things that I know truly in my heart that I want to move forward on? And of course, this work was definitely coined by Carl Jung, and he spoke of shadow work. This is like a psycho-spiritual lens to sort of begin to look at your journey and your own experience through. So there's many different archetypes. I mean, and Carl Jung isn't the only one who's been talking about this or has written about it. I think he's the original, but it's definitely taken off. And some people will study archetypes for their whole life. And many people will say that you will be working through, you know, the wounding in this psyche for your entire life. And I do believe we will always have to stay connected to the different aspects of our psyche and help those aspects to evolve. I also think we are at a time where some of you will actually truly overcome the complexes and move beyond the limitations that we once had in this world. So until you get an ability to really observe yourself, it'll kind of be hard to see these archetypes within yourself. You'll see it as you. And until you practice meditation or, you know, connect with the body and begin to open up the energetic systems of the body, it's going to be really hard to see yourself. And so that's where we spend years, just sort of working to open these avenues for development and to sort of evolve a little bit in our consciousness so that then we can see the wounding more clearly and we can begin to allow ourselves to transform and release some of the stuff that was stuck in our psyche and really transform it so that we can become creators of a new earth versus that old way of being. But it's very helpful, truly, also to use archetypes as a way of separating yourself out from your own behavior and your own way of acting. So, for example, one of the common archetypes is the maternal aspect of yourself, okay? And when you think of you have multiple different aspects, I think of my maternal energy as being one that I've relied on heavily as actually being an in-life mother. Now, even if you're not a mother, you still have this maternal aspect that comes through. And, you know, as a playing the physical role of being a mother, for me, that maternal aspect kicked into gear, right? And that has a certain way of being, that aspect of me has a certain way of being in the world. And just to give you an example on how this maternal aspect of me has manifested, it went on high gear, almost monopolizing and pushing away my inner artist, my inner rebel, my inner explorer. The maternal aspect of me came forward in such a strong way that it sort of drowned out all the other aspects of me. So as my kids have been aging and turning into teenagers, and I've needed to really work with that aspect within me to allow that maternal instinct to stop trying to make it all okay for everybody, stop the appeasement. There's been programming around how to use and how to be a mother in the world and how to express my maternal energy. And I feel that aspect of me coming up, even with my clients and people that I, you know, work with, my friends, my family, but I have to sort of dial her down and sort of become aware of the toxic ways that she exists in the world, the overdoing it, the feeling responsible for everybody, the chronically, you know, putting my needs aside for the needs of others. And that's something that I've had to really work through in my life's experiences, is to really work with that maternal energy and help her to evolve. Okay, that aspect of me has had to evolve because the ways of being a mother in the past really are truly not what's going to work, at least in the current reality, and certainly in the current reality for me. And the maternal aspect can sometimes just completely cut you off from all other aspects of yourself and all other dimensions that you might want to or need to explore in order to be able to bring something new into your own personal life and your reality. So another common aspect or archetype of yourself, and this is one that many people speak of, is the inner child. And we all have an inner child, and there is many different ways that the inner child can express itself. But oftentimes you will see your inner child come forward in a negative way when you're first in the part of the healing journey that you're exploring, you know, maybe some childhood wounding. But the inner child will come forward or get triggered. And sometimes it'll come forward where you're like having a temper tantrum. You're literally having a temper tantrum. And you're like observing yourself. Why am I having this temper tantrum? You've been triggered. Your inner child is screaming and needing something. And you have to begin to examine what that aspect is really truly looking for, and the energy and the wounding that inner child aspect is feeling in that moment. Sometimes you'll feel the sense of like overeating or addiction, or I'm just going to do whatever I want to do and I don't care who it hurts or who, if it hurts me even, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And it's almost like that naive aspect of that inner child that's acting out in the physical reality. So as we begin to observe these aspects of ourselves. We can begin to bring a deeper awareness and kind of go underneath of like, hey, oh my gosh, this isn't me. I'm not a total psycho, right? Like, or whatever it is that you're identifying that might be coming out from one of these archetypes. This isn't necessarily me. This is an aspect of me. And this aspect of me is operating in the way that it knows how to survive. It's operating in a way to get my attention and to be seen so that I can then go inward and begin to really truly feel it into or clear the energies or the traumas that that aspect of me is carrying. And really, when you begin to understand that these archetypes all sort of have their different agendas, right? So there's like the inner explorer that wants to go out and break the rules and, you know, see what is beyond, you know, create beyond what it knows, right? But then there's this inner everyman who truly just wants to fit in and he wants to belong and he wants to truly not break the rules. So you've got these two aspects that are sort of working within you and they can be working against each other inside of you. So it's that polarity feeling of, I really want to go, but I really don't want to go, or I really want to do this, or I really don't want to do this. So if you're feeling those kinds of feelings in your life, taking a look at the different archetypes and how they're feeling or connecting more deeply with that wounding that it might be carrying is a really good way to begin to move forward in life and be able to create an inner harmony and truly, and Carl Jung pointed to this, is create a sense of feeling whole and also having your soul and your higher self guiding these inner aspects. And this is where I think is a really big key for me, because I work with higher self, an aspect of your, you know, it's a higher dimension of your soul that is guiding you on your soul journey. And as we begin to cultivate that deeper connection with our higher self, it's almost like your higher self can become this nurturing parent, right? And guide these inner aspects, also knowing that we're evolving as humans collectively on the planet and understanding that there's something new that wants to be birthed out of us, right? Like there's some sort of new creation. So higher self sort of has the big picture of all of that and can help and guide these inner aspects of your psyche to not only align with just the soul and expression in the highest without wounding, but also guide and direct these aspects of ourselves to evolve so that we can create in the direction of where the cosmos and the planet are moving and what is needed for us in order to be able to rebirth a new society in the world. So this nurturing parent aspect that needs to come forward is truly, you know, it's an override, or the first healing is to really release your critical inner parent. And I think a lot of us have this critical nature of, you know, whether it's that you're overeating or there's some sort of behavior or an addiction that's coming out and you are punishing yourself or being critical of yourself, this is not going to be conducive to a healing process. So allowing that first step where higher self becomes the nurturing parent. And the nurturing parent really has the qualities where there's boundaries, there's love, there's compassion, there's a harmonizing effect when you connect more deeply with that higher aspect of yourself. But also, as many of us have sort of come into awareness of, is that when you're working with higher self, there's not a, you have to release the codependency tell me how to do it. I don't know anything. You have to sort of like higher self at some point will, just like a nurturing parent, let you figure it out. There comes a phase in your journey where higher self will sort of step back and let you start to make the decisions. It's not always giving you the answers anymore. That, like, there's some level of you needing to make choice in your physical reality and not depend. Just like you wouldn't have, you'd have to learn to become dependent from an actual parent. You will have this process that you go through with your higher self. And, you know, so there is this whole development of that connection with higher self, which I have personally found has been critical in order to be able to truly work with these inner aspects to a degree that has really brought true, true healing. So as you begin to work with this, you know, higher self in order to become aware of the archetype. Let's say you become aware of the archetype, or you become aware of a behavior that you're having and you're curious what archetype it might be. And not only can you just kind of do some reading about the different types of archetypes and just familiarize yourself with the information that's currently out there, you can begin to understand that the archetypes are usually speaking to us through our dreams, through our memories, through visualization that comes up for us. And, you know, you begin to allow for this communication to come through, right? Like, you allow for the inner child to show you what the wounding is or what the feeling or the sensations are in your body. A lot of times you will need to work with somebody who's trained, who can hold a space for you, because again, you're talking about your deepest wounds in your psyche. This is hard to see for yourself. And it's also, you know, difficult to sort of understand without somebody who's helping you interpret it. For me, I've used pendulums and pendulum charts and really truly created an entire way to understand what the archetype is coming, which archetype is coming forward to be seen, be heard, be adjusted. And I work with that to get just clear information. To me, it feels clearer and more precise, and I can implement it more easily. I often sometimes will need to go through an emotional release or some sort of unwinding in my nervous system as well. But through working with my higher self, I've learned how to re-educate or ask, you know, for the assistance to begin to evolve and begin to help my inner archetypes evolve and become what they need to be in order to bring through my highest good, my highest ascension path, my highest growth in this lifetime. So as you dismantle, you know, this inner dysfunction within the individual archetypes, you actually create this like internal harmony where, you know, your everyman and your explorer can work together to create a balance within your life where there's not a lot of extreme or this internal polarization that takes place. And you can really begin to make real changes in your life. You can align with your soul journey. And really, our society, this is kind of how I see what we're at as far as like a stage in the world, is that the changes in our society right now are really truly calling for you to go inside, evolve yourself, learn this process of learning how to look at your own wounding and how it's not serving you or anyone anymore. And really begin to embody this higher light, because as we clear what I would call these programs, these energies that we're holding in our psyche and our bodies, we're clearing the way for spirit to truly guide and work through our vessel, through our psyche, through our different types of our personality, because as much as you're going to sort of evolve and ascend, you're still going to have a human psyche. And so it's this process is really about reconnecting that psyche to the bigger mission instead of the smaller like woundings of the past and the ways of the past. You're allowing this clear stream of consciousness to come through and use the archetypes to create in the highest for yourself and for others. And this is really where one of the biggest pieces of everyone who's really well-meaning and wants to support and do something really good for society, right? Like to sort of contribute to society. And there's so many well-intended people doing that right now, but they haven't taken the time to understand their motivations, because truly, if you haven't worked with that, especially inner child, you know, the inner child can really be using, you know, different woundings to sort of create in the world to serve itself, versus like once it evolves and it heals, inner child becomes more playful and engaged. It feels like its needs are met, so that it's not always seeking getting its needs met outside anymore. It's allowing your healing and you're holding that space for that inner child, and then you're choosing to engage in ways in the world that are beneficial for all instead of just that tiny wounded aspect of yourself. And there's a really good example, because with Carl Jung, he has not only just come up with multiple different types, and you can go like honestly to infinite archetypes or aspects of the psyche, but he's taken the inner child and broken that into many different aspects. And I think in the beginning, it's good just to understand inner child is an aspect, right? Like there's an innocent part of you that is playing out in this world. But as you drill it down a little bit, you get to these different, like there's the orphaned inner child, there's a needy inner child, there's a divine inner child, there's an aspect, a nature inner child that wants to be connected to nature, right? Which is something that we don't often get at the current, you know, juncture. But there's one aspect that currently I've been working with in my own journey, and it's the eternal inner child. And the eternal inner child is like your inner Peter Pan, right? Your inner Peter Pan, the part of you that's resentful that it has to grow up. It's, you know, wants to stay young forever. And it plays out actually in very destructive ways, at least in my own life. If you have a wounded eternal inner child, or you haven't had a properly developed aspect of you, right? The eternal inner child really is like I would call it ADHD. It's like constantly wants to do new things. It's bored. I don't want to stick with this. You know, that aspect of me, I have kind of whittled down to being this eternal inner child aspect. And honestly, as much as I actually give free rein to this aspect of myself, I sort of allow the eternal inner child to, all right, let's start a new project. Let's move on. Let's do this. Like, let's leave everything behind. Let's escape all of our responsibilities and pretend that it's not there. I mean, this aspect of us can manifest into literally spiritual bypassing, right? Like let's just, you know that we're spirit and we don't need to, you know, commit to anything. And I see this a lot playing out. And the eternal inner child also gets pissed, really pissed, and like an internal like frustration that is created within me because of the fact that I do have responsibilities and I do have to sort of be an adult in this world, right? And so there's other parts of me that want to be an adult and create, but this inner eternal inner child is just so, it's so loud at times. And so as I've worked with this eternal inner child, I've really, again, brought this compassion and love and understanding that I needed this aspect of myself in order to move through some of my life's experiences up until this point. But acknowledging and realizing and truly not forcing the inner child to sort of see it your way, like a parent, like a critical inner parent would, but just truly allowing this eternal part of me to realize what you truly want is that freedom and that sense of being able to create what you want to create when you want to create it, like a child would. And in order to get that, we create boundaries for ourselves. We don't eat all the Doritos because the Doritos are actually the opposite of what you're seeking, right? So as you begin to show like this nurturing aspect of yourself begins to show the eternal or the aspect, in this case, the eternal inner child, that what it was seeking and how it was going about getting it was actually the opposite of what was actually going to fulfill the needs. And so this has whittled it way down here and kind of gone a little deeper underneath, but truly like understanding that you cannot force these archetypes to see it your way. You have to allow that aspect of yourself to evolve and realize the ways that I was trying to meet my needs are no longer working for me. And it's no longer creating harmony within, you know, my within the system, right? Within your psyche. And the only way for everyone, all of the inner archetypes, to have harmony or have all of the needs met is to create harmony within and to work together. And it's just very interesting when you really understand this and you really begin to ground this awareness of your inner archetypes and how they work together and how they can be in massive conflict, that when you do create that inner harmony, your outer world creates in harmony as well. You start to learn how to work with other people's aspects and with other people in this world. And truly, this is the foundation of co-creation and working with other people to create a new society. And if you are somebody who's been spiritual and kind of gone down these spiritual paths and connected with your own spirit very easily, we talk about co-creation a lot. There's a lot in the field around how we have to become a society that co-creates, right? Co-creation with other humans is very difficult. it's a challenge. I mean, it is one of the challenges of this current society is how can we come together with all of our different agendas and awarenesses and, you know, our ways of wanting things to go and work together. And if you cannot get that on the inside of you, we have no hope for that on the outside. So this, I think also, you know, when, as you go to create things in the world, I'm not saying stop creating until you do all this inner work. It's like you do the inner work while you're trying to create, because as you begin living your life, stepping towards your dreams and moving towards things, you're going to have stuff that comes up, but you need to have the process and the awareness and the understanding in order how to go back inside and truly realize, okay, I'm trying to create this thing. I'm trying to move forward on something. I'm trying to leave this relationship, or I want to create this type of relationship, right? Like things that you want to step forward on, right? Your business projects, your service work. You must understand that that's going to bring a whole different energy to your internal psyche. And you're stepping towards it in many ways so that you can sort of rise to your own personal next level of awareness. And so being able to see this shadow aspect, this the ways that your psyche behaves, is such an important key to truly becoming this new evolved human. And from there, as you get this harmonic or this harmony going inside of you, it's literally just endless. It's endless on the evolutionary path because you've made it past this sort of road. It's a huge roadblock for so many of us on this awakening path. So yes, get in with those inner archetypes and start to understand what aspects of you are holding on to wounding. What aspects of you are holding on to trauma? Let this window begin to open within your own world.